Merry Christmas.
Christmas!
Merry Christmas to those of you in the chapel right now. It's not overflow, it's just a chapel. We're so glad that you're here. I want to start with a statement. I'm going to make three statements total during my message tonight, but I want to jump right into the first one. I'll put it on the screen for you. I think we'll get all agreement on this. I don't think there'll be any pushback. This is an easy one, a layup. If I was a DJ at a roller rink, this would be an all-skate type situation. And here's number one. Everyone is on a journey. Make sense? If it makes sense with you, say amen.
Amen.
Everyone's on a journey, whether it's personal, professional, emotional, or intellectual, relational, or even spiritual, everyone's on a journey. In a crowd this big, over 1,000 combined here tonight, there are children who are on a journey. There are students who are on a journey, elementary school students, middle school students, high school students, college students. Welcome back. Feels a little different being back, doesn't it? You're on a journey. Young adults are on a journey. Young couples are on a journey. Singles in our midst are on a journey as well. Engaged couples on a journey. Newlyweds are on a journey. Young parents, different type of journey. Not a lot of sleep. Extra coffee. Red Bull to give you wings type of journey. People who are in recovery are on a journey. People who are parents of teenagers are on a journey. Aunts and uncles on a journey. Empty nesters a journey. Grandparents on a journey. Everyone's on a journey. You look at the scriptures, we see every person in the Christmas story, they're on a journey. Mary, a teenager from a cow town in the Middle East, she's on a journey. She's engaged, betrothed. Really, it's stronger than our modern day engagement. It's almost like a covenant marriage, as we would see it. To Joseph, Joseph was on a journey, also young, a teenager, probably a little older than Mary, studying to use his crafts in the trades as a carpenter, no doubt he was on a journey. Jesus, from heaven to earth, on a journey. The shepherds keeping watch over their fields at night, they're on a journey. The wise men following that star, do you know they followed that star for 3 years? 3 year journey just to get a chance to meet that promised Messiah. Everyone is on a journey, and you know this intuitively as well. Every person you meet, the ones we see on TV, the ones we chide and cheer for at a sporting event, everybody's on a journey. Let's go to our second statement. Our second statement. It's this. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. Like that. There's been an accident. Your journey changes. I want a divorce. Your journey changes. I'm so sorry, ma'am. I'm so sorry, sir, says the ultrasound tech. I can't find a heartbeat. And like that, your journey changes. There's a mass, and we've discovered that the mass, well, there's a problem. It's cancer. And like that, your journey changes. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. I can't believe it was 3 years ago already that my own mom drove through traffic with panic in her voice and called to make sure I was there and met me on my front steps to look me in the eye and just, mom to son, just say, I want you to know that I have cancer. I don't know how long I have left. We didn't know. It turned out it was 18 months. And since she passed away, it's already been 18 months. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. And I'm using troubling examples right now. There are also good examples. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. You've seen a young couple at dinner at a restaurant, and after dinner, the dessert is coming, and the waiter comes around, and he uncovers the dessert, and under that dessert is not actually a creme brulee. It's a diamond ring. And right about that time, the young man has gotten down on a knee, and he reaches out, and he asks for his girlfriend's hand in marriage. It's amazing how fast your journey can change, isn't it? How about couples? Couples who have kids. You have one kid, two kids, no, three kids. You just feel, we're just not done. You've been there, perhaps. We just need that fourth child, and so you get pregnant, and at that ultrasound, the tech looks at you and says, surprise, triplets. Triplets. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. What about in the world of sports? I got a name for you. Colin Kaepernick. 3 years ago, he was the talk of the town, a quarterback for the Super Bowl San Francisco 49ers. Now he's the guy who takes a knee during the national anthem. He's the guy who won't stand to honor our nation's flag. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. How about the 49ers, for that matter? Less than 4 years ago, 5 yards away from their sixth Super Bowl, now they're a laughingstock. Thankfully, we have the Raiders making a nice run, although... Okay. This is not in my notes, but I did check ESPN between the services. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. David Carr out with a broken fibula for the rest of the year. It's amazing how fast your journey can change. Rumble, rumble, rumble. Some of you didn't know that. Switching from sports, the realm of politics. Our president-elect is not just a real estate mogul or a reality TV star anymore. He's going to be the next president of the United States of America after a brutal campaign, but it's amazing how fast your journey can change. Let's go back to the scriptures, those title characters. We'll start with Mary, teenage, not knowing what's coming at her when an angel appears. We'll pick up this story in Luke chapter 1 at verse 28. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Huh? You will conceive. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Her response was, how can this be? How is this going to happen, for I'm a virgin? And the next words from the angel's mouth were, you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how fast her journey changed. And what about her betrothed, Joseph? Joseph had heard that Mary was pregnant. Because he was a righteous man, he made plans to divorce her quietly. But the angel appears to him and says this. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 20. Joseph, son of David, the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so he did. He stuck with Mary, and she gave birth to Jesus. He lived in their house for 30 years. Joseph poured in his expertise as a craftsman, a carpenter, and at the age of 30, after spending a lifetime entrenched in family relationships just like you and me, Jesus lays down his carpentry tools and begins a teaching ministry. He teaches and he heals, and it's amazing how fast people's journeys started changing every single day. A short list, a blind man receives his sight, and then another day, a lame man gets up and walks. A few days later, a leper is healed. Days later, a demon is cast out of another man, and then a man full of demons, all the demons are cast out. In a similar region by that lake called Galilee, then 5,000 people were fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amazing. In the midst of a violent storm, another time, Jesus calms the storm with just the mere waving of his hand. Another day, a guy named Lazarus, a family friend of Jesus's, who's been dead for days, Jesus walks in, calls him out, and says, Lazarus, gets up, and the dead man stands up and walks out in front of everybody. It's amazing how fast people's journey can change. And now Jesus has a huge following. Thousands are going with him wherever he goes, just like what happened in modern day if he was doing those types of things in our midst. But the reality is, nobody had seen that type of power. Nobody had experienced that type of wisdom. No one beheld that type of kindness or compassion. Life-transforming love was wrapped up in this person. He was doing amazing things day after day after day. And then the unthinkable happened. This man Jesus, this miracle man, was deserted by his disciples, betrayed by his best friends, falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit, arrested, beaten, bloodied, executed on a cross between 2 common criminals. And everything I just described to you right there happened in a 48-hour period of time. It's amazing, even for Jesus, how fast your journey can change. 3 days later, Jesus burst back to life. He's resurrected. Then he starts making appearances to people, his followers, his friends, then a crowd of 500 plus. People's minds are blown. It's amazing how fast people's journeys are changing again. The people who killed him huddled in an upper room, fuming at the fact that he was alive again, going like, who is this guy? He can even conquer the grave, you're telling me? The next 40 days, Jesus trains and instructs his followers for when he'll be gone again. He says, you got to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, is going to come upon this place, and you're going to start this little vibrant community of believers called the church. And the thing about this church is you're going to see people worshiping and connecting and serving and doing good in their community, and the Holy Spirit's going to empower this thing. And then one day something weird happens. Jesus walks out, and he just starts rising. He just starts levitating, and then he keeps on going, and he doesn't stop. And people are going, when's he going to stop? And he doesn't, and then he disappears in the cloud, and like that, poof, he's gone. He ascended to his Father in heaven. And then the disciples are like, okay, I guess it's up to us to do what we're equipped and called and trained to do. And a few of them said, wait, he said to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. So one day they're in a worship service in an upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes and starts doing supernatural stuff, just like when Jesus was there. And they're like, okay, here we go. And then the church starts to grow and it expands. It goes from Rome to Athens and then Sicily to Antioch, and hundreds and then thousands and then hundreds of thousands of people are part of this movement of God called the church. It's amazing how fast their journeys were changing. Quick story. 18 years ago this month, I wasn't a pastor. I was a real estate broker. I walked into my boss's office in downtown Walnut Creek, and I sat down and I said, thank you for the last year of a management program. Thank you for the last year of training. And in a weird way, you probably won't understand this, but you've helped me discern. You've helped me determine that this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm leaving the firm effective today. And he looked at me and he goes, why? It's one question. Why? I go, well, I feel called to pursue my passion. I feel called to be a full-time vocational pastor. And so he looked at me again and he goes, why? And my answer was simple. I said, I want to be a part of seeing God help change people's lives. I'll never forget, he leaned across the table, big burly guy. He goes, I've been in this business for 30 plus years. And there's one thing I know. People don't change. I said, really? He goes, yeah. If anything, they get worse. So the greedy get greedier. The cranky get crankier. The selfish get even more selfish, especially when we get older. He goes, watch. And I let him go for a little bit. And then I was 24 years of age, so I had a little bit of, maybe a little too much confidence at that time. But I listened respectfully, and then I looked him dead in the eye, and I said, listen, I appreciate your sentiments, but I am going to dedicate the rest of my life to proving you wrong. Because I still believe that God changes people's journeys and lives. And we can clap for that. That's just what I believe. And let me just give you a peek behind the curtain of where that confidence came from. See, in the years prior to that, I had watched God change and transform many people's lives, and I even experienced it in my own. I was raised, and some of you might be able to relate to this, I was raised loosely Catholic. I went to catechism, I had First Holy Communion, I would go to church a few times a year with my family in Walnut Creek. I knew a little about God, but I didn't really know God personally. I had an idea of religion, and my idea of religion had to do with like a scale. You know, one of those old school scales? And in my mind, my job as a person, in order to be religious and to be approved and accepted by God, was to make sure the scale, based on my own behavior, tipped in my favor. That I was more good than I was bad. That I did more great things for other people than I did selfish things for myself. And that was kind of my mindset, my religious mindset. And then I remember in junior high school, I went to a youth ministry, a student ministry, not unlike the ones we have here at CPC. We got them for all ages and life stages of pretty much, we have everything for your family covered in terms of a ministry here. But I went to a junior high ministry, and I'll never forget, I eventually went on a ski trip on a snowy weekend, at a cabin in the Sierras, and I heard an older man sit down with no pretense, no pomp, no circumstance. He sat down on a chair with glasses bridged across his nose, and he opened his Bible, and he simply shared the message of the gospel. And gospel means good news. And he goes, here's the good news. It's not about you. It's not about a religious approach. It's about a relationship with God and what God has done to make that relationship possible. And I thought, this is different. This is interesting. This is something I haven't heard yet. Share with me a couple of scriptures. I'll share them with you now. The first one was from Romans chapter 3. He says this, but now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight. That was a big part of what I wanted to be right in God's sight. What do I need to do to be right in God's sight? Shown us a different way, not by obeying the law, not by following rules, but by the way promised in the scriptures long ago. What was that? Well, we're made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can all be saved in this same way. And I love this last part. No matter who we are or what we have done. And that encouraged me. I thought that sounds almost too good to be true. It doesn't make sense unless there's a God who's a lot more loving than I thought. The very next verse he shared, John chapter 3, verse 16, maybe you've heard it. For God so loved the world. There it is. This is why. So loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Then it started to make sense. At the end of this older man's, he was a grandfather. At the end of this message, I remember in junior high sitting on this carpet, he said, I'm going to give you a chance to close in prayer, and I don't want you to feel like you're joining a religion. But if you want a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, this is your chance. And I remember thrusting my hand upward in that dark, warm room and just saying, I'm in. I want that relationship. I need that forgiveness. I don't want it based on my behavior. I want it based on a loving God. He goes, you can't earn it. It's a gift. It's free. You just need to receive it. And so, man, I did. And so now I want to get to this third thing, because if I could go back, now I've been walking with Jesus for 30 years and I've served as a pastor for almost 20. If I could go back to my boss's office in downtown Walnut Creek, I would share a third statement with him. I'll share it with you now. And here's the statement I would say. Nothing can change your journey like Jesus. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've had a front row seat to see God change thousands of people's journeys. Listen, I've seen hateful people become incredibly loving people. I've seen prejudiced people become incredibly accepting, tolerant people. I've seen greedy people being released from the grip of greed and turned into the most incredibly generous people I've ever known. I've seen selfish people become awesome servants. I've seen judgmental people become very accepting and gracious. I've seen suburban, complacent people become activists for the hurting and the poor and the marginalized in places not just in our San Ramon Valley, but beyond that in our region, in places like Richmond and downtown San Francisco and all across the world to Centauro Village, Ethiopia. I've seen it all the time, over and over again. Nothing can change a journey like Jesus. And there's nothing better, in my opinion, than seeing God change people's lives and journeys and families. And here's the thing. I'm just convinced that tonight, even tonight, especially tonight, that God's sitting here going, I think he wants to do a little bit more changing. I don't think he's done even with the people in this room tonight. And I've been talking for almost 20 minutes, just have a few minutes left, and I realize there's a lot going on, but I just would encourage you, just for the next few minutes, just do your best listening. I'm almost there. It's amazing how fast your journey, even tonight, could change. Let me just describe a few different groups of people that could be in here and a few different ways that you could respond to the love and the grace and the gift of Jesus, even tonight. There's probably people in here tonight who walked in here and you have heartache. And the reason that you're experiencing heartache is because you walked in here with this heavy heart because of a relational rift with a loved one. It could be your spouse. Could be a son or a daughter, could be a family member, could be a friend, a colleague, or a co-worker, and there's a rift there. And so listen, the most amazing transformation and change to your journey could happen If being moved by the Spirit of God, your response to this message walking out here tonight is to find that person and offer a humble, unequivocal, unqualified, two-word statement. And you might already know what that statement is. And that statement is just simply, I'm sorry. I've seen those two words, I'm sorry, avoid divorce, reconcile relationships, even marriages. I've seen them salvage business partnerships. I had a conversation with a friend recently who just said this business partnership would be salvaged if the person who did a disservice to me would just say those two words, I'm sorry. Some of you tonight had a hard time following along with the Christmas carols, not because you don't know the words or the jingle, but because, to be honest, you were riddled with a little bit of guilt because your drinking is a little bit out of control. You tried to reel it back, and now you're in the midst of family members who don't quite know what to do. They notice it, but they don't know how to respond. And maybe it's not your drinking, maybe it's your eating. Maybe it's your spending. Maybe it's the speed or the pace of your life. You're along a pattern or a path of self-destruction, and you want it to change, but you haven't broken the pattern. If you could have, you already would have. But a two-word prayer in response to this message could help you. And this is a prayer to God, Almighty, all-powerful God. And here's the two-word prayer. Help me. God, help me. God loves you so much that two-word prayer will melt his heart because he loves you. Help me. Someone else might have walked in here tonight and you go, I'm suffering physically. The medical reports are just so discouraging. And a simple two-word prayer that is just absolutely fair game to pray on a daily basis, and maybe you already are, maybe it's just a reminder that God hears you, is the two words that just say, God, heal me. Heal me. Either from a direct touch from your hand or the expertise of the medical team, heal me. God can do it. Maybe someone walked in here tonight and you're just broken. You're inconsolable because of either what someone did to you or maybe betrayal or maybe it's emotions, maybe it's feelings. Maybe it's a recent event, but you're broken. And a two-word prayer that you could pray to God tonight just as a response is just comfort me. God can bring comfort like no human can. Comfort me, God. Comfort me. Maybe you sitting here tonight and you go, gosh, my response is it's hard to be here because I'm just so deeply disappointed in myself. I get there sometimes. You think of something or some things that you've said or done and you go, I can't believe that. I can't believe I'm doing that. I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I said that. And so a simple two-word prayer for you to, again, a loving, gracious God is just cleanse me. Cleanse me. And then, and this is the last example that I'm going to give. And this one, I should just, as a disclaimer, I should say this might sound a little weird. Okay, can I say that? This just might sound a little weird, a little eerie, but I'm going to be direct. There are some people here tonight who, I kid you not, you probably came onto this campus. I don't know if when you were driving in a car or when you're thinking as you were picking up your family or something, or when you sat in this seat waiting for the music to start, you probably thought to yourself, tonight might be the night that I become a Christian. Christmas Eve 2016 might be the night, maybe, that I become a Christian. And if that's, and it sounds weird because you're going, hey, and it might be something you've thought about or prayed about. It might be something that a friend has said, hey, no, I'm praying for you. I don't know. Just God sometimes orchestrates events to change people's journeys, and tonight might be the night where you're thinking, yeah, I might become a Christian. And the way to do that, again, I'm not inviting you into a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. But a two-word prayer that you could pray is just simply, save me. God will honor that. Save me. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite, most simple scriptures is Romans 10:13. It says this, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Save me. And so now, here's what I'm going to do. The band's going to come up. They're going to get ready to sing. But I'm going to close in prayer. Actually, before I do, let me just say one more thing. Even if you don't want to respond in one of those seven ways, and I'm going to give us a chance to just pray and think and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, then I'm going to wrap up. I want to close with one more thing. Don't believe the lie that you can't be changed. That's a lie. Nothing can change your journey like Jesus. I've seen it day after day, year after year, person after person, journey after journey, family after family, marriage after marriage. I've seen it. So don't believe the lie that God can't do it, okay? Now I'm going to stop talking. Some of you are going, yeah, I'm about ready for that. I'm going to stop talking. We're going to open in prayer. You're going to hear a little music in the background. And then I'm just going to be silent for like a minute. This will be your chance to just meet with God. And I'm going to put these responses that I put, I'm going to put them up here. And I'm not sure which one's yours. It might be I'm sorry. It might be help me. It might be guide me. It might be heal me. It might be comfort me. It might be cleanse me. And it might be save me. I'm just going to give you a chance between you and God. And then I'm going to wrap up. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we know that everyone's on a journey, and we admit it's amazing how fast our journeys can change. We come before you tonight on this Christmas Eve, and we have probably a bunch of different responses for some of us whose hearts are aching. Lord, would you hear the simple prayer or maybe propel us to share that two-word response with a loved one or a friend? Just simply, I'm sorry. For those of us who are stuck in a self-destructive pattern, that simple prayer, help me, would you hear and honor that prayer? Would you help? For those of us that might be lost or in the midst of a fork in the road in terms of decision making, would you guide us? For those, God, who are in a medical situation that has them struggling, that has them quite frankly hurting and hoping, would you honor the simple two-word prayer, heal me? For the broken among us, God, would you listen to and respond to that prayer, comfort me? For the disappointed among us, God, would you hear and honor that simple prayer, cleanse me? We thank you for the words of the psalmist that says, when we ask God to cleanse us, that by his Spirit, our sins, our wrongdoings are separated as far as the east is from the west. Thank you. And God, for those of us who, yeah, tonight was just the night we actually thought we might become a Christian, would you remind us that it's not what we do, but what you have done for us. It's not obey so that we can be accepted. It's we're accepted by you. So we'd love to obey as a response. If that's you, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've never given Jesus the reins to guide your journey, and you want to do that tonight, again, not religion, but have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, if that's you, just say those two words, save me. Ask Jesus, say, forgive my sins. Take the reins of my life. Save me. From tonight on, I will follow you as my Lord. Father, we just thank you for the chance to celebrate this Christmas, to meditate upon your word, and to respond through prayer. We thank you that you're patient with us. We thank you that you sent your son for us. We thank you that we have a holiday where we can celebrate just how meaningful that is. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.